The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut, but if you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, the reinstatement of Jack Perry by Tony Khan. How did that go? And we speak to formerly Cameron Grimes in the WWE, Trevor Lee, right now on the Busted Open Podcast. I read on NFL.com this morning that Tony Khan was injured last night during AEW Dynamite. And are we going to see Tony Khan at the draft? And I feel like if we see him at the draft, he's going to have a neck brace on after what happened last night. So
if he takes kayfabe all the way, brother, he would be like that team that forego their first pick because he couldn't pick up the phone because he was so hurt.
Oh, imagine that. Like, Jaguars lose their first round pick because he couldn't get to the phone in time to make the call for the pick. They call good that thing. That's called doing a Mike Tice.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good thing dad is there to take over and steer the ship.
But you know what? He could be distraught. Looking at Mr. Shad Khan last night after what happened to his son, Tony, he may be too distraught to make that phone call.
Mm.
So maybe
speaking
we don't
of distraught,
get
it. We got some guests today. We're a guest.
Cameron Grimes is going to join us this morning. We're going to talk to him after his release from the WWE. But I have a feeling he's not going to be out of work too long because that's a talented young man who I'm sure has a very bright future ahead of him. And who knows, maybe somewhere down the line, even a future back in the WWE, but we'll talk about that with Cameron Grimes when he joins us in about an hour. But, Tommy, a lot to get into from last night. And there's a lot to get into from last night, but let's get into the biggest thing that happened, and that was at the end of Dynamite. And you called it because I actually said they should go, and I believe Bully as well agreed, that we should have seen a babyface Jack Perry. Jack Perry comes out last night. Nice thread throughout the show. We saw Jack Perry and the Bucks arrive at Daly's place in Jacksonville. Saw them go into Tony Khan's office, come out of Tony Khan's office. And then we saw them in the ring last night. Tony Khan and Jack Perry. First off, Jack Perry comes out, Tommy. And I said, as I said yesterday on the show, should be a babyface. Comes out to a standing ovation from the AEW faithful in Jacksonville. And I always kind of look at the AEW faithful in Jacksonville as kind of like that home field audience for AEW. That is their headquarters. That is their home base is in Jacksonville. He comes out, gets a standing ovation. We get the chance of he's our scapegoat from the crowd at Daly's place in Jacksonville, Tommy. And then you get him saying thank you to the fans, smile on his face. He talks about how much AEW means to him and then asks for Tony Khan to come out. Tony Khan, he asked for that handshake to reinstate him. He said that he loves AEW. He's all about AEW. You could see the appreciation in Tony Khan's face. He actually does a fist bump to his heart. And right there in that moment, Tommy, I'm thinking Jack Perry is the biggest babyface in AEW. If they want to run with Jack Perry as a babyface, they're able to do it because he's got Tony by his side and he's got the fans by his side. But Tommy, that's not what happened, because first of all, and I thought it was a great visual, it sounded great as well, Jack Perry, a punch to the gut of Tony Khan, and then out come the Elite, out come the Bucks and Okada, and then you see the TK driver, and that's all she wrote. But Tommy, you called it on Busted Open yesterday. You said that they should go with Jack Perry as the biggest heel, and I think you got your wish. You called it, my friend. What did you think of the end of that show last night?
Different. First of all, I thought it was a great hook, as you said, a thread with the arrival shot, and then going into the office, and then the follow-up with Alex Marvez, when they said, and, you know, he's going to talk to Tony Khan in the ring, or to whatever that what it was said, and you heard that place react. And I thought that was amazing. And I was like, whoa, Tony's going to go out there live? And because, you know, he doesn't appear that much on television.
No.
You know, he has been established. And then the fact that the where they went, like you said, Jack Perry, complete, total babyface, people singing his entrance. With anybody who says Jack Perry's not good on the microphone, well, I thought he did an amazing job right then and there, and will continue to do an amazing job. Really roped you in. And when we talk about moments, when he hugged Tony and then the look into the camera was the first one. And then the wait. And then that punch to the gut with the microphone was great. Here come the Young Bucks. Everyone's like, what the hell are you doing? The second moment, when they picked him up for the double V trigger. And then, like, they had, and they milked their moment where you're like, wait, there's no way. And you heard the people, like, I wasn't there, but it would be like, dude, like, on that, like, I remember when surprises would happen, people would tap the person next to them. Like, no, they're not going to do that. They're not going to do that. And then Okada steps up. I was like, no. And then when they finally do in Tony, that place reacted. And that place reacted big time.
Yes.
And it was definitely a moment. I love also, because I feel, if you also go on, I think it was Matt Jackson's Instagram, or excuse me, Matthew Jackson, posted a really, really good post-match promo.
Yep.
And then if this goes to where kind of the Elite are taking over, this is a big, big moment for the company. I liked it. I liked where they went. I said the same exact thing. I was like, man, this audience is a trip. And you have Jack Perry as he's the guy now. He is the guy as a babyface. And then I said, they got you. And I love when you get got. I do.
I'm going to ask you this, because obviously I have my opinion.
Okay.
After what you saw last night, does it change your opinion about them playing the Jack Perry Punk video 2 weeks ago?
Reassures it for me. You and Magoo were more so about why show it. You heard Jack Perry's response when he came out. The people were loving him. And yes, then they went against that grain, which was more shock value and longer term stuff. But how do you say that that didn't work? When, again, I will just go from the exact point. Your ratings went up and the guy's merch sold out. The guy shows up and he gets a hero's welcome. They're singing a song that, it isn't even his song, but it's now his. And he's got those reactions that he got. So, no, it kind of reaffirmed it.
I got to eat some crow here, Tommy. Very adamant. The Thursday morning after Dynamite about that, I thought it was an idiotic idea to play that video. I thought it was stupid. I thought in a lot of ways that was their WCW moment. I wasn't the only one that said that. Other people said that as well. After seeing what I saw last night, it makes sense to me why they played that video a couple weeks ago on Dynamite. So, never thought I'd be saying this, but I was completely wrong, and I got to eat a little crow, because I thought the ending of Dynamite last night was a defining moment for that company. And man, I'm watching that show last night, and I got to tell you, first hour of that show, I was like, what the fuck is going on here? I thought there was so many things wrong with that show last night, from audio difficulties, which obviously technical difficulties are going to happen. We'll get into it a little bit later. Did not like the way that they used your new AEW World Champion, Swerve Strickland. But you throw that all out the window, because what does Bully always say? What do you always say, Tommy? What do you remember most? Do you remember the finish? And I thought the finish of that show last night was fantastic. I really do. The moment Jack Perry came out and the crowd reaction for Jack Perry, where they're on their feet cheering him, like you said, singing the song, "Oh, Cry Me a River," which I thought they would do, and it happened. That's why I thought they should go with him in a babyface role. But the exception of like one jabroni at ringside that was clapping and jumping up and down, other than that one person, they got that entire audience who was just cheering Jack Perry to boo Jack Perry. And again, that's the beauty of pro wrestling. When you could get a crowd to react to somebody the way that they did, and then 5 minutes later, have them react to somebody in a completely different way. Tommy, we could talk about many instances throughout the history of pro wrestling where that has happened. And what do we call those? Moments of magic. What do we call those moments? Turning point moments. And for me, last night, for AEW, a show that in the first 60 minutes I thought was a disaster, in the second half of that show, I was like, holy shit, this could be the turning point for the show and for the company. And you now have the biggest heel in AEW and Jack Perry.
Yeah. And also, excuse me, riding the, I feel they're on them. They have momentum, and that momentum will continue. This angle last night, because we have to have follow-up next week, as well as if there's a loophole with these EVPs that get too much power and now they have creative control because the boss is out, you know, real deal. If something happens to a company's CEO or founder, the next person in line has to take control while that person is out. So this is interesting where they're going to go with it. If you're looking at this as an NWO type of thing, cool. Study what made the NWO super duper hot. Ride it, but don't remember why the NWO then failed. So again, studying history, what worked, what didn't work. Last night worked. It really did. Tony Khan was a sympathetic character last night. And I know, and unfortunately, everybody, you know, everybody has their opinions and says stuff about the guy online. But last night, not only, I mean, if you think about Babyface 101, where did they take the guy out? In his hometown. The only other thing that could have gone wrong for him was if it was his birthday. But, and it got heat. It got heat for this group. It was good. It was executed. I told you, they all took their time and took their moments. I enjoyed it. I don't know what the nation thought of it. I don't go to social media because I don't really care, because there's so many different narratives and threads and all that stuff. I will just go from what I saw and how I felt about it. And they got me. And when I could get got, I love it.
And I got to give credit to Jack Perry. When he hugged Tony Khan, and he kind of rested his head on Tony Khan's shoulder, and he gave that wry smile. Right in that moment, you knew, all right, something's going to happen here. And then that punch to the gut was fantastic. And I got to tell you, Tony Khan, sold it like a champ, dude. He went down like a ton of bricks, which is exactly what would happen if Jack Perry punched Tony Khan in the stomach. He would go down like a ton of bricks.
Yeah.
And listen, this is where I got to say, Tommy, because, you know, I get a lot of shit, which is fine. I leave myself open to get a lot of shit. I've been divorced twice. There's nothing you could say that's going to hurt me. I've been divorced twice, okay? Nothing you're going to say online is going to hurt Dave LaGreca. I react to what I see in the moment. Tommy, we are live 7 days a week, okay? I don't have time to digest moments. I don't have time to digest shows. I give you my immediate reaction as soon as the show happens. So when you hear me rip AEW and criticize AEW, that is my immediate thoughts and reaction from that show. I'm giving you what I felt. I'm not holding anything back. After what I saw last night, the ending of that was a good night for AEW. Why? What have I complained about, Tommy, when it comes to AEW? No defined baby faces or heels. No stories. Well, coming off of last night, you have a pretty defined heel, right? Pretty defined heel in Jack Perry. Also, we talked about stories. There's a thread of a good, you know, three or four stories coming out of what we saw last night. So if I'm going to complain about no defined baby faces and heels, and I'm going to complain about no storylines, well, you got me last night because they gave you defined baby faces and heels, and they gave you stories. So I gave AEW a lot of shit, but today you're not going to get a lot of shit about AEW. You're going to get a lot of praise. And I felt that ending was an ending that's going to make people now want to tune in to not just Dynamite next. I got to tune in to Collision and Rampage on Saturday. I may have to sit through the fourth quarter of some shit NBA game now so I can make sure I catch the beginning of Collision and then Rampage. Because what are we getting on Rampage? On fucking Rampage, I'm getting Deonna Purrazzo and Thunder Rosa. I have no idea what Thunder Rosa said, Deonna Purrazzo. Not because Thunder Rosa was speaking in Spanish and I don't know Spanish. It's because there was bad audio issues. But I could see in her face there was a lot of anger. I could see in Deonna Purrazzo's face there was a lot of anger. So now I got to sit through the shit fourth quarter of some NBA game. I think it's the playoffs. I'm not sure. Is it the playoffs?
It is.
Yeah. It's the playoffs. The playoffs in the NBA runs 3 months, so it doesn't really mean anything anyway. I got to make sure. Is that true?
It is true.
It is true. Fuck that.
Let's go Knicks.
Yeah, there you go. Knicks. Mike Jackson, Starks, Ewing, big fans. Big fan of the Knicks. But now I got to sit through the end of that game because I have to watch Collision. I have to watch Rampage because of what I saw last night on Dynamite, Tommy. That's what you want. You want hooks. You want people to tune in to your show on a weekly basis. You have an ending like the show last night. That's going to hook people to watch your show on a weekly basis. So let me say this right now. Tony Khan, you're a fucking genius by what I saw last night on Dynamite. Can't take a punch. Can't take a punch. But after I saw last night, you're learning. He must be listening to Busted Open. He must be listening to the show.
There it is.
Because he's learning.
Put it on yourself.
He's learning.
Pro Wrestling
now.
101.
You're an eagle maniac.
He's learning.
Exactly, Drew.
He's learning. I didn't see it coming. He got me. He got me. And I like being got. I like being got, Tommy.
Yeah. How about saying he's a student of the game? He studied and it worked. That's nice to say.
He's a student of the game. I apologize, Tony Khan, for screaming and yelling hatred remarks about AEW 2 weeks ago after you showed that video. Because what I saw last night, you were obviously a student of Busted Open. You listened to the show. And we got what we got last night, Tommy, which was awesome.
Will you also, since you're feeling regret, remorse, will you apologize to The Rock?
No. There's no reason to apologize. And now I understand why some people like silent movies, because, you know, we got a silent show for the first 60 minutes of Dynamite last night. I was like, where's Charlie Chaplin? Where's Charlie Chaplin?
Another great follow-up with what the Bucks did on their social media. They literally like said what Tony Khan
would say. Like, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for tuning in. I almost wanted them to tweet out like, justify this is awesome chance after Jack Perry punched nice. Tony Khan in the stomach.
Good stuff.
A lot to talk about. You know, this is one of those shows that I want to hear from people who were at Dynamite last night. I want to hear from those people that were in Jacksonville last night, because I definitely want to hear from people that were there and what that crowd was like. Because Tommy, you would agree that AEW Jacksonville crowd loved Jack Perry when he walked out. And by the time that segment was over, they hated Jack Perry.
Absolutely, they did.
And this is different. I like it because, you know, everybody's talking about, oh, the boss, evil boss, like Vince McMahon, the Mr. McMahon character, evil boss. Even when Tony Khan, remember that time Tony Khan did play a character when there was the relationship between Impact and AEW, and he kind of played the guy with the black, you know, this black sunglasses and everything, and I love the fact that I'm AEW. This is my love. This is my passion. God, we got to get Tony Khan on. Paul, get Tony Khan on before the draft starts.
He's a little busy today.
Once the draft starts,
that's the draft.
He's in a full body.
Pack. Well, yeah, did you ever see Draft Day with what's his face? What's the
Kevin Costner?
He's got all morning. Kevin Costner was hanging out with his girlfriend, drinking coffee, going to the amusement park. He had a lot to do. He had all that time draft day. So I'm sure Tony Khan's got some time for Busted Open.
The Busted Open podcast is now available on YouTube. This is Dave LaGreca, host of Busted Open, the number one pro wrestling show on the planet. You can now watch and listen to the award-winning Busted Open podcast every single day on YouTube. Our best interviews, behind-the-scenes access, and some of our best content from the past, all available right now when you go to youtube.com/@BustedOpenPodcast. Subscribe right now.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
The best part of spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get. It's kind of like when you find out you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. It's time to switch to Mint Mobile. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited-time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bustedopen. That's mintmobile.com/bustedopen. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bustedopen. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Warmer, sunnier days are calling. Fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Meet your wellness goals in time for summer thanks to the menu of chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great-tasting meals. With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, you'll always have new flavors to explore. Crush your wellness goals this May with dietitian-approved meals and ingredients that you can trust. Treat yourself to restaurant-quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, and blackened salmon. Head to factormeals.com/busted50 and use code BUSTED50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code BUSTED50 at factormeals.com/busted50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Trevor Lee, formerly Cameron Grimes in the WWE. And Trevor, man, I'm trying to make some levity because I got to tell you, man, and I got to give you a lot of credit here because it's difficult to show emotion, and you put that emotion out there on social media after you got that phone call. And I got to commend you on that because I know that's got to be difficult, first of all, to get that call and to show everybody your raw emotion, because I think we felt it with you. We saw and saw your journey within the WWE, you know, the stardom that you and just like the great entertainment you gave us within NXT, and then waiting for that opportunity on the main roster. And, you know, I want to personally thank you not only for what you did in the WWE, but just showing that emotion to your fans, because, you know, we went on that ride along with you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, there's one thing that I've always tried to do, and that's be genuine. You know, like looking back, you know, a few hours after putting that out there, I was like, man, should I have showed this much emotion? You know, should I really have kind of done this? But the amount of response that I got from being like that, being genuine and having everybody reach out to me, it's really helped so much, because it does. It sucks. This is all I've ever wanted to do, and that's the place that I've wanted to do it at. And I never really felt like I got that chance in the past couple of years. So I just figured that would be the best case, is just kind of be genuine and show everybody, you know, how I was feeling in the moment.
You didn't get that chance. Straight up, you know, I ain't going to bullshit you. Remember the last time you came on here, you were Cameron Grimes getting ready for one of the biggest NXT matches. The world fell in love with you. This character that I never saw coming, Dave never saw coming. You know, you were never really handed a microphone, let's say, back in the day in Impact Wrestling. But this character, how it evolved, and we were like, man, you know, to the moon is actually where we all thought, you know, you were going. And then the call up. And, you know, what happened? Like, in your head, I know you're trying to process all in, but is there anything? I know you're not a malcontent. I know you're not going to show up to work messed up. I know you're not going to, you know, cause any backstage issues. So, like, why do you think this release happened?
That's really what I've been trying to wrap my head around as well. You know, I got called up. Well, really, it was August of, like, 2023 is when I believe I was wrote off of NXT television to head up to the main roster. And even then, so they wrote me off in August, and then I started kind of going up to the main roster to SmackDown and going to the shows. But then still, I wasn't drafted onto the main roster until 2024 when they did the draft there. So there was probably like a good 6 to 8 months that I was just traveling to the main roster waiting to make that transition. And at that time, they just kind of told me, you know, that's when there was a different person in charge and everything. So they just kind of told me that, you know, we're waiting to kind of get you started. So when the draft came around last year, that was like their kind of their point of being like, okay, well, here's a good way to lead you in now, because we didn't really have a story for you the past couple of months. So, you know, I got drafted up. We had the match with Baron Corbin. And it was funny because in that moment with Baron Corbin, he literally told me, "Hey, just so you know, nothing in NXT matters now." That was a quote that will always stick in my head. Nothing in NXT matters now. Up here, everything's new. Then literally 2 weeks later, everything in NXT mattered. You've seen guys getting brought from the NXT show onto our show. But then I don't know. I was just always told that, you know, they just didn't really have an idea for me at the moment. So, you know, I pitched a bunch of different ideas. I pitched a bunch of different character ideas because I had a feeling that the money thing just wasn't going to work up there. They had, you know, already kind of tried it with Corbin before I had got up there with the JBL thing. I feel like that was very much because of the success that I had with the character of in Cameron Grimes and NXT. I think that's why they kind of went with that storyline. And go right back to Baron Corbin. The first time I met him, he said, "Hey, I'm the guy that stole your gimmick." I said, like, those are my two big quotes of having with Baron Corbin. Still a great guy, but it's just things that stick in my head that make me remember. And I don't know. Over the past few months, I had been going to writers and stuff and saying, like, "Hey, you know, I just want to work. At the end of the day, I just want to work. I just want to work." And I would hear that that would make me kind of sound bitter. I don't understand that process. I don't understand how I came off as being kind of bitter. I guess every week when you're asking to work, I guess it starts to start annoying people. You know, I mean, I guess I could see that. I don't know. It was strange to me. Literally last time I was at TV, I had a pretty high executive tell me, because, you know, I was worried. I knew that. So starting the stock market gimmick, it made me see businesses in a different light. You know what I mean? Like following these companies and playing with stocks, I would see things in a different light. So like, I knew that I haven't worked in over a year and I'm making a decent salary. Like, so I knew that if someone was to look at the books, I'm going to be the first person that's going to be cut. If you're looking at it strictly as money wise, but if you're looking at it as like, okay, well, if this is a talent that can do something for us, you know what I mean? They're going to keep me. So like I was told by a high executive on last week on Friday that I would always have a job here. I would never have to worry about losing my job here after expressing my concerns like that to them. And then 5 days later, they called me and told me that I do lose the job. So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot to digest. Number one, and take it from me, top guy, top guy in one company. Once I went to another company, everything, you're back at the bottom rung. So, I mean, that is a very prolific statement because it is within the system that Baron Corbin had said to you, because it's true. You know, it's, you know, you have to start all over again. I can tell you from maybe a writer's standpoint, I don't know, again, how that system works, but if someone is constantly every week, it gets, because they're not wrestlers, it gets misconstrued as this guy keeps bothering me again. So that is one thing that, and I hate it because that's it. We all just want to go out there and perform. And if my memory serves me correct, it was Corbin, a backstage stuff, and then you and Dragon Lee.
We had started a little bit of an angle with Corbin because,
right,
you know, he wanted more out of it than just kind of like getting stomped. So we were going to do a bit of an angle. And then a week or two after that had started, they had moved Corbin down to NXT. So they just kind of like completely put a stop to that.
Right.
And I think the next couple of times you would have saw me on there was maybe, you know, working Austin Theory or Grayson. Me and Dragon never had a match,
okay,
but we did tag together. We did. Yeah. But it was mostly kind of working Austin or either Grayson.
I thought you had his debut match or something like that when he came up, because I mean, you know, you're a solid worker. I apologize. So now what? I mean, you have 90 days, right?
Yeah, 90 days. July 22nd. That's when the contract ends. It's a great question, you know. Now what? And you know, over the past year, like when I had been having these thoughts, saying like, you know, I'm gonna be, you know, I always joked about it in the locker room. You know, I'm gonna be the guy. I'm gonna be the first one gone, because that's just kind of how I got through it. It was just my head of making jokes with the boys. I had a good relationship with everybody back there because, you know, I mean, I was traveling up there for over a year and a half, not working. So what else would I do but just talk with all the boys and just, you know, have a good time? So I always kind of made the joke of, you know, like, yeah, I'm next. And then when they announced the draft, I said, you know what, boys, I think I'm going to be drafted Thursdays. And I think Thursdays is when Impact comes on television. So, like, I kind of knew it was coming. I mean, it sucked, but I knew that the only way that they were going to give me a chance is if I was probably to be released and go show them that I could do stuff. And as much as that sucks, like, we've seen it happen in the past with Drew. You know, Cody wasn't released. He left. But I think I just got to remind them. I don't know. Like, I think ultimately they knew I wanted to work. So, like, to make me feel a little better, I want to believe that, okay, well, the kid wants to work so bad and we don't have nothing for him right now. Let's let him go and let him go work and bring him back later is what I want to believe. You know, before I went to WWE, the only thing that I had never done was go to Japan. So I would really love to go to Japan and kind of see what I could do over there. I think with my style, I think I could do pretty well over there. And the benefit now is too, that there's other places that can pay me and can make it to where I can still be successful in this business without having WWE. It sucks because, you know, even if I work for another company, I'm going to say WWE's the top. I mean, you'd be ignorant to deny that. You see the numbers that we're pulling in, like the business deals that they're doing, like that's where I want to be. But it's going to take a different path for me to get back to that.
You know, Trevor, for you, and I'm sure it was a great moment when they did decide to take you from NXT to the main roster, but you said at first there really wasn't anything for you. Did they have any plans? Like, did they discuss anything? Like, we're bringing you up for this reason.
No, there was never really like a, we're bringing you up for this reason. It was just more of like, you know, we're bringing you up because there's not really much for you here on NXT anymore. Before NXT 2.0 kind of started, you know, that's when the Cameron Grimes character had kind of started taking off. And at that time, like, I remember Hunter kind of telling me that he wanted the character to kind of transition into a more serious light and see what we could kind of do with it. Because, you know, I'd kind of had the popularity going for me. So let's kind of make the character a little bit more serious and kind of make him into a top guy type of spot. Then the whole NXT 2.0 thing happened, and it completely just changed the whole atmosphere of what was kind of happening. Then instead of, you know, working guys that were all 10 plus year professionals, now I'm working guys that have, you know, been in the business for literally a second. And, you know, we see that those guys are doing great now, but in the conception of that, there was people there that were having to teach them. And, you know, I became more of that role of like, okay, well, now show these guys how to wrestle and kind of get them into these spots. And I was kind of pushed back to now being just kind of like a helper, which was fine. I mean, I was fine with that, but it got to the point in NXT where there was only so much I could do there. So they're like, okay, well, we're going to move you up to the main roster. And, you know, Terry Taylor said, you're a stallion. You need to have a field you can run in. And that's where the main roster is going to be. So I was excited. I was excited to head up towards that. And even if I didn't have like a spot per se ready to go at that moment, I was just excited to kind of get up there because where was I going to be able to learn the most, you know what I mean? Like learning from the top guys on the main roster or just kind of hanging in the back in NXT, like helping out those guys. So for me, I was just excited to kind of get up there and just get more knowledge, even if it wasn't ready for a spot. I knew that I would be ready for when that spot came. I got my body in the best shape of my life, you know, and I was ready. So, I mean, I was just excited to be up there.
When, you know, I'm sorry, Tommy, really quick. When you're a part of that black and gold brand, and then you transition to NXT 2.0. So when you're a part of the black and gold brand, that was under the regime of Triple H, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
So were you excited to now that Triple H was in charge of creative on the main roster? Did that excite you knowing that you guys were able to do so much on NXT?
For sure. Yeah, that really excited me. But then, you know, what happened was as soon as I got brought up, there was that kind of struggle between the two, like where Hunter wasn't really in charge yet. And, you know, Vince was still kind of in charge. And so like there was still that kind of battle going on between them, and you were either like a Hunter guy or a Vince guy. And when, and at the time Vince was still in charge, so being a Hunter guy didn't necessarily help you really that much during that period.
Wow.
Well, I was going to say, you know, now that field is wide open for you for a Stallion to go out there. I mean, you've already said it. You have options, right? You have New Japan, where I know you could get over. TNA, where you know you could get over. AEW, where you know you could get over. And Indies, dude. I mean, there's, you can see, and I know I'll peel back the curtain, I text you, you can see that a lot of your peers have done really, really well once they were let go or left WWE. And then from there, it's like, take a Cody, take a Drew McIntyre. Drew was devastated. And we were also all shocked. But then when you peel it back a little bit, you know, Drew was just like, okay, maybe this, maybe that. Maybe I could have done this better. I could have been in better shape, all this stuff. So you have to continue on that path and actually work even harder to get back to where you want to go. I mean, that's if that is your ultimate, or trust me, you're going to find happiness if you don't go back. You know, there's a lot of different layers to this. Not that you have to reveal who it is, but I know, were you shocked by one specific person who reached out to you during this time? Because everybody reaches out to you when this happens.
Yeah, you know, really the best part about everybody that's reached out to me so far is that I got more of you're a great person than people just saying that I was a good wrestler. And like I said, over the last year and a half, just being able to like talk to everybody and hang out with everybody, like that's all I really wanted to do was just be a good person. So that really helped, was hearing all that. But, you know, this is going to sound like weird because, like, you know, the level of star he is, you know, it looks like maybe I was, I don't know how, whatever word you would say, but, you know, Logan Paul actually reached out to me, and I thought that was pretty cool because, you know, I mean, he's a megastar, really. And even beyond past wrestling, he reached out to me and said some stuff to me. So, like, you know, that helped me feel good. So, over the past year, like, you know, Shane Helms, I want to go ahead and put his name out there. He's always been very pivotal in my career, and he did so much for me in the past year. He's the guy behind Logan Paul. You know, no one knows that because, you know, he doesn't want to say it, but he's the guy behind Logan Paul. Every time Logan's going to have a match, he's the one that's helping him. So in the past couple matches, I was Shane's helper to Logan. So I got to be around them and kind of help that. So that was something that was really cool. You know, this WrestleMania, I got to help be a part of that triple threat match and help like kind of help put some pieces together for that. So that was incredible for me. You know, literally 2 weeks ago, I was at the biggest WrestleMania of all time, and I was sitting in Gorilla for a match that I got to help kind of, you know, I didn't put the whole thing together, but I got to help put pieces to that. So to have that moment, to have Paul Heyman's Hall of Fame speech literally the night before that, you know what I mean? To have all those moments live and in person, like I had already such a fire in my ass already, you know what I mean? I was so excited to come out of the other side of Mania and see what could happen for me. So I was already fired up, and then this hits, and now I'm even more combustible. I'm ready to explode.
Did Drake Maverick hit you up and say, stop stealing my gimmick online?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, it worked for him. I was hoping it worked for me.
You know, Trevor, what was the biggest learning experience for you being a part of the WWE?
Ultimately, learning how to become a professional. You know, this is my 16th year as a professional wrestler. So like I've learned how to do the moves. I've learned how to do all that. But what WWE teaches you the best is how to be a professional. You know what I mean? You're around so many people that are, let's just say, they're millionaires. You know what I mean? So, like, you know how to – you learn how to move differently. You learn how to, like, conduct yourself differently. You learn how to be a professional, because that's what – at the end of the day, WWE is a publicly traded company. They may not actually be anymore. I don't know if that changed, but so it's wild. There's so many people walking around in suits and ties that, you know what I mean, you may see one time or you may see every day. So ultimately it just taught me how to do that, how to move better in those situations and how to handle that type of life, and set myself up for a career, hopefully.
Well, setting up yourself for a career starts today. Where you have to start plotting what you want to do, like I said, to either get you back or make you ride your own. You're the captain of your own ship right now, which is really, really cool. You don't have a bitterness towards WWE, which is very, very cool. And like I told you, you're better for being there. And you were a great wrestler. And it's funny, like someone like you, because I remember that picture of someone doing a moonsault in midair and getting double super kicked by the Bucks. And I was like, wait, that was you? And I never knew that. And I, you know, I've known you for so long. I remember like in TNA, I'm sorry, in Impact, they didn't see, even like I never saw your ability to speak. And once you were given that ball, I was like, whoa, this guy's got all the package. Also, I've always known how freakishly strong you are, and you also have the greatest motivation and like a biggest part. Like when I say storyline wise, what your last words to your dad were, and like even when your dad had passed, when I remember texting you and I was like, "Oh shit, I met your father." Blah 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 blah, and I was like, "I didn't know any of this about you," but now that the world knows more about this, and you. These are motivational things, but also like it's part of your story. And this moment that we're living in right now is part of your story as well. So
for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad that you realize that. I can't say like, hey, if you had a choice, like where would you like to go? Because I just think your answer is still, you just want to wrestle. Right.
Yeah. 100%. I just want to work at the end of the day. I just want to work and everything will kind of fall in after that. Yeah.
Talking to you right now, Trevor, and obviously, you know, when you get the news, you're going to be heartbroken. You express that, and we all are able to see that. But talking to you right now, I can tell that, like you said, you got that fire under you. You're ready to work. You're ready to go. You're ready to move on. Like, I guess that's the saving grace is that, you know, even though you were living your dream being a part of the WWE, you weren't able to do what you love, and that's wrestle. Because I'm sure wherever you go, and you're going to have a lot of people coming to you, I'm sure you're going to have choices about where your next step is going to be. You're going to be able to wrestle. So, I mean, that's definitely a positive in the future for you.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, before coming to WWE, I was one of the guys that would, you know, I would have hour-long matches. You know what I mean? So, like, I just loved it. You know what I mean? I would just love to work. And, you know, in the past probably 4 years in WWE, I've probably had a total of 20 minutes of match. You know what I mean? So like, I'm just excited to go out there and just do it. You know what I mean? That's really all it is I just want to work.
I'm excited. I'm excited to see what's next, Trevor. And please, you have open door here anytime you want to come on. We can't wait to see what the next chapter of this book is going to be. And as Tommy said, you never know what the future holds. You can go to a company and that's where you're going to be happy. Who knows? Maybe one day you're back in the WWE as well. So, you got a bright future ahead. And thank you for all the great moments and matches in the WWE. But I'm really looking forward to what Trevor Lee is going to do outside of the WWE. So thank you so much for the time this morning. Appreciate it.
Thank you guys for having me on here so much, man. I appreciate it. And, you know, I look forward to being able to show you guys what it is that brought you guys to me again.
Love it. I love it, Trevor. Thank you so much, man.
Yep, thank you.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream the podcast.
Catch the full 3 hours of Busted Open every day of the week at 9 a.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Foundation, channel 156. Go to SiriusXM.com/BustedOpenTrial to start your free trial today.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.